Time for another episode of All Elite Wrestling's Unrestricted, which is the official podcast of AEW. Tony Schiavone and Aubrey Edwards together once again. You cannot separate us. It doesn't matter what wrestling company you watch. We're going to be there together somewhere.
Oh, man. That's great. I like the little... Yeah, it was nice being ringside at the Impact and coming around and just like, hey, Tony, what's up? And then going around to the other side of the ring. It's nice.
Right. That's cool. It was a great experience. It really was. And congratulations to Kenny Omega for his win. By the way, don't forget the AEW Casino game. And Aubrey, you know all about that.
I do. It's available on the iOS App Store and Google Play. You can download it now. It's a legit fun casino game. And we've started adding a lot of AEW branding and whatnot. So you'll start to see cool gifts like Darby's skateboard and Phoenix's mask. So cool stuff in there. Marvez was telling me how absolutely addicted he is to this game last loop. So it's definitely a fun one.
It really is. And speaking of fun, we've got the alien returning, our own Chris Statlander. Chris, how are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm just curious. Are you holding up your like Perrier bottle as like a microphone like we're holding up the bottle? Because it looks like it.
Now my microphone is here and this Topo Chico.
I know, but it looks like you're like, how are you?
How are you doing?
No, I'm just curious.
Is that the lime Topo Chico?
Yes, Twisted Lime.
Oh, that's the best one.
Yeah. So, Chris, it is great to have you back.
It's great to be back. I never thought this day would come.
Hmm. Did you really think this day would never come?
It felt like it. It was miserable.
Oh, yeah. I get it. We all get it because we had seen you backstage and kept asking, when you coming back? And I know you were, as the old cliche goes, itching to get back in the ring. But you're back now. You're part of Best Friends and Orange Cassidy, Galaxy's Greatest Goobers.
Yes.
It seems like... how did this all happen? How did you get hooked up with, so to speak, with the Best Friends?
Well, I feel like the whole like me and Orange Cassidy type thing has been, we've talked about doing this since before both of us were signed with AEW, where we had done a mixed tag team match together and we had wrestled each other twice actually. And our characters are just so similar and just complement each other so well that it's just like it had to have come to fruition at some point. So like when I first got signed, we were doing a whole lot of skits on BTE and everything. And then we were told it would never happen on TV. This is going to stay on BTE just because of, you know, personal reasons and whatnot. Not our reasons, but it was just something that wasn't wanted for TV. And then the fact that me joining them become my actual return, it's still incredibly mind-blowing to me. Like, how often do you see a woman wrestler return in a men's main event gimmick match to team up with them and save them? Like, when does that happen? Ever. Never does. So it was kind of like a huge moment for me, and that I didn't realize that. I was just like, oh, I'm just doing a goofy-ass spot right here. But, like, it's to make amends with like friends that I hadn't been here for this whole time and stuff. So I think it was just really cool how it all actually happened. And like the fact that it actually is happening now. And I feel like now that it's being seen what we're doing, it's like, oh, why haven't we done this all along? And I see so many people like tweets and stuff where it's like, I feel like this is Chris joining the Best Friends is a little bit too tailored to my specific needs as a wrestling fan and stuff like that, where it's like, where people like, it's like they're actually getting exactly what they wanted. And like, it's like one of the most feel good things that people have. And I'm like, I'm so happy I get to be a part of that. It's so nice to be like that joy for people.
So I want to talk a little bit about the specific moment of your return, which is through the claw machine at the Arcade Anarchy. And I remember us talking about you busting through the glass and like talk about that experience because I know it's a little funny story.
Well, okay. So I don't even know where to start with that because I know that was originally supposed to be Orange Cassidy's spot, which that I don't get because he was in the match. So like if he like trying to think about it, like how would he just not be a part of the match in the entrance and then like Chuck would just be getting double teamed the whole time and then Orange Cassidy pops out of it. Like I like to me that didn't make sense. But, you know, I don't write or book anything, so it's not my decision. But when I got cleared that week and was told I was doing something that week, I was like, oh, I was not, I was seriously, I got cleared the Tuesday, I believe, that we fly out to go to tapings. And then I was not expecting anything at all to happen, because it's like you got to build up storylines and stuff like that. I know they were talking about maybe teasing a return and everything. And I don't know, I just got told that I was going to be in the claw machine. And I was just like, okay, that's cool. And then I was so worried that like the plexiglass wasn't going to come off, that I was like, I had to, me and Penelope were like, it's just got to be, full force, just got to do it. And then I was worried that I was going to shockmaster myself getting out of the claw machine, because it's pretty tall to get over there. So I was like, oh, great, I'm going to make my big return. If I don't, if my leg, because my leg can't bend all the way with a brace on. So I was like, if my foot gets stuck and I fucking eat shit, oh God. Like, I was so worried that I was just going to face plant. And then, but they told me they were going to put a step in there for me, and they're like, I'll be able to grab onto the top. So I was like, okay. And it was hot in there too. I know this is probably answering some fan questions that I saw, but they want to know how long that I was in there for, because it was a taped show that we did it on. I was in there before they did entrances. I was in there the entire match. So suffering.
Just sitting with your little walkie-talkie waiting for Jerry Lynn to give you the
And there'd
the
be
cue.
Times where, there'd be times Penelope, she would walk over to me and be like, hey, you hear all those "you suck" chants? They're talking about you. And then she'd like walk away.
Oh my God, that's so great.
It was a great moment. As a matter of fact, Chris, I don't know about Excalibur, but JR and I know we're not smart enough that you were in the machine. So it was a surprise for us. So it was,
Oh, you didn't know that I was in there?
No, did not.
Oh. See, I feel like that was the case with a lot of people, that they didn't know that, or like they saw me when they were talking about it. They saw me like standing out there with them, but they didn't know where I went when the match actually started. So I don't think a lot of people saw me get into the claw machine.
Right.
Because it was before the match started. Like, I was in there for a solid like 2-3 minutes before they even started doing entrances. So
it was a good surprise. It really was. And I know I'd seen you in the back, and I know, you know, you've kind of changed your look a little bit, which is great. Mm-hmm. And I saw that you were looked like ready for action, but then when you popped out, that kind of surprised all of us. And the plexiglass kind of surprised Penelope as well, didn't it?
Yeah, with that plexiglass, she was, for everyone that's going to ask about it, she was going to put her hands up. It came out so much easier than we thought that it was going to, that she just didn't have time to, which is why her hands are like down here. Mm-hmm. But we got such a perfect moment out of it. And she was fine. She was fine. For anyone that thinks I might have broken her nose or anything, she was fine. It was just so unexpected in like the best way possible that that happened.
I don't know. Aubrey, do you know, do we save the plexiglass of that as a memento?
Yeah, it's in the prop truck.
Good.
Yeah. I know the picture of it ended up on Instagram at one point or another where like you see Penelope's like...
I posted the one on Twitter and then she just posted it on Instagram before our match.
Right.
But yeah, I know Charlie took it and he saved it in the prop truck. So that's something that we're saving.
Love it.
That's a great memento. That's great. And...
yeah.
Who knows? 20 years down the road, you can make some money on eBay with it.
Mm-hmm. We'll both sign in and whatnot.
That's right. Absolutely.
So great. So we talk about the return, but I want to talk about the actual injury a little bit. So walk us through what happened, because I know that you had done that tope multiple times. Like, it was just a staple to your offense, and it just happened to be the one time. So what happened?
I don't know. So my theory is that it was like the most gentle one that I've ever done, because if you've seen the ones I do before, I just kind of haul ass through it because I'm so long that I'm afraid that my feet are going to hit the rope. So I just go as hard as I can. But the way that it was set up to do it in this match, it was just get in on one side of the ring, run across and go, as opposed to get like up, hit the ropes and then go. So I think because it was a little bit more, I didn't have as much momentum going into it. It was a little bit more gentle, but it wasn't like on the diving through the ropes part. It was the way my foot landed somehow, where I think I like had tucked my toes under type thing. And I don't know. It didn't feel like it was like over tracking forward or over, like, it didn't feel like anything was wrong. Like, it didn't hurt really. It's just, I just felt kind of like a in my knee.
Make that noise again.
That's like, it's so hard to explain. Like, I didn't hear a large pop. It just kind of felt like, I don't know how to explain it. It was weird. It really did not hurt. I know everyone that was there, like, kind of watched me walk to the back afterwards. So they were probably like, oh, it's probably not so bad. But after the MRI, doc said it was hanging on by a thread, which means in order for it to have been torn that bad, like, I must have had a pre-existing condition or something with it. Sure. Which I've never had knee problems, so I had no idea. So I really don't know exactly how it happened. It wasn't like I got hit in the knee. It wasn't like, I feel like I didn't land weird, but, and like the angle that we have of it from the side, like, you can kind of see like the way I land, but it doesn't look like I've seen people land so much worse than the way I did and then have nothing. So it's like, I don't know what happened. I don't know how it happened. And I don't know how it was so bad over something that was just like a weird land, but whatever.
Well, when you do things like this on a regular basis and you're an athlete and you are going to have certain stretches and tears that you don't even realize, you know, mm-hmm. and that just was the big one, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to have you back. And next, we're going to talk to Chris about her rehab and making her way back to the ring.
Making my way back to the ring. Gonna get some new things. Da-na-na-na-na-na.
This is AEW Unrestricted. Tony and Aubrey talking to Chris Statlander, former guest of the podcast, but little unique situation where she tore ACL almost a full year ago and has made a glorious return through claw machines, has joined a new faction, has a new look, lots of just cool changes. And I love the evolving that you've done through this.
Thank you.
Yeah. So a little bit about, we talked about like the injury itself happening, but I know that you had the injury, I think it was like the Wednesday, it might've been live, and you're just kind of limping around Thursday. How soon after did you have surgery?
Too long.
Wow.
So I got injured on June 10th. It was a live show. I did not have surgery until July 28th.
Hmm. Why did you wait that long?
I didn't want to wait that long. It was not my choice. Okay. So they have to wait till the swelling in the knee goes down to be able to see everything. And it's just to not have any further complications. Plus, COVID was super bad at that time, right, summer last year. So there was just a lot of precautions that kept me from really getting it done. And me being the dumb idiot that I am, once it stopped really hurting after like a week or two where it wasn't so stiff anymore, because I was just working on mobility and everything, I was just walking around on it a lot with the wrapped up in an ACE bandage. So I kept walking on it because I was like, I don't need crutches, I hate them. They told me that the more you use it and like do exercises with your legs, like just the bare minimum, like leg rehab exercises that you can do, the better you'll be, or like the quicker your recovery will be. Right. And that was not true. I mean, it was true to a point where I was like, I felt good. I was feeling good quicker probably because I was doing so much before, but it probably also did not help with the swelling. The fact that I was walking around on it a lot before I got the surgery. So it took a long time. They originally didn't want me, or they originally, when they scheduled it, were going to have it done August like 12th, the surgery. And I was like, that's over 2 months after the injury. And I was like, do you have anything sooner? Because I got to go back to work at some point. You know, like, this isn't just like free time. Like, I need to be cleared to work and stuff. So it took a very long time to get the surgery, which was not my choice. I did not want to wait that long. That's just how it happened.
So talk about, once you have the surgery, the physical therapy and your training to get back in shape. Tell us what you had to do.
So the day after surgery, I had my first day of physical therapy where we kind of just took a mobility test, see how much I could bend and straighten my leg, stuff like that. Very, very basic stuff. I said, hey, when do you think I can start working out again? And the doctor or the physical therapist was like, you know, if you're feeling okay, like, go for it tonight. Like, so I did. I tried to work out the day after surgery. But because of the painkillers they had me on, I got super nauseous really quick.
Well, yeah.
Anytime I try to like exert energy. So like it would be like the first couple of days, it was like just 20 minutes of upper body stuff just to try and do something. But then I just stopped taking the painkillers because I didn't want to feel sick. So I stopped taking painkillers so I could work out. So I don't know what that says about me. I know a lot of people are just kind of like when they're injured, they just relax and they don't do anything. And for me, I was like, I gotta do something. I can't. It's the only thing that I could do where that was somewhat close to having any sort of physicality that I had to do it. So once I was able to work out, or I got told to work out, I just did as much as I could every day. I did all my leg rehab exercises like every day, three times a day. Looked up a bunch of stuff online with other ACL experts and whatnot, and tried to find new activities to do. I really got like into the whole like figuring out what is the best, how much can I do? And like how much of each thing can I do a day where I'm not overdoing it, but I'm doing enough different things that it's not like I'm destroying everything that was done. So I really just kind of got kind of obsessive over trying to find everything that I could do to fix my knee. I know a lot of people have said that I have come back in better shape, which I did not try to do. I don't know how it happened.
I can tell you how it happened. All of the shit you just said.
See, I know I say that I did a lot of working out, and every time people would ask like my boyfriend or anything how I'm doing, he'd be like, she's doing great. She's been working out every day. And people are just like, is she a psycho? Like, why? And he's just like, I don't know. She's a nut. She's a Looney Tune. But it was just like, I didn't really diet or anything. So it's like,
really?
Yeah, like I ate so much popcorn and ice cream, so much that like I don't know. And like I didn't really see a difference of like, oh, I can see my body composition changing because I'm trying actively to change it. Like it really wasn't until I got my new promo pictures done and then I like looked at old pictures that people were posting of me, like fan art and stuff, that I really saw a difference. And I don't know how it happened. Yeah. Like it's not like I actively like tried to get leaner. I just wanted to keep working out. I just wanted to stay in shape, in the shape that I was. I ate a lot of popcorn.
Popcorn is the key to repairing apparently, an ACL.
The healthy kinds though, you know, like the, every time I bring up this brand, everyone's like, I've never heard of it. Has anyone heard of the Boom Chicka Pop brand?
Yes.
Yeah.
Every time I've said it to someone, they're like, I have no idea what that brand is. And I was like,
yeah, it's the chickpea based stuff.
Yeah. I ate so many bags of that, like whole bag, one sitting.
Oh my God.
Multiple times a week. So I'm just saying that that's what I ate a lot of.
It's good. Yeah.
But it wasn't like a bad brand. It was just, I just really got a taste for it. And I was like,
whatever floats your boat, man.
Might as well. I'm injured.
It's going to be your new diet fad. Ice cream.
I know.
And popcorn.
Ice cream and popcorn.
There it is. That's the reason.
That's all you got to do, guys. I mean, I ate a lot of I don't eat meat. I eat a lot of eggs and vegetables. So like, you know, eat your vegetables, drink your water and stuff. But right. Like, you know, eat a lot of popcorn.
Before we take a break, I wanted to touch on a little bit because you had been back in the ring, I think, much earlier than people realize. I know you were doing some like practice matches and taking bumps, I think up to like 2 months before you returned. And I know talking to you a bit in the locker room, like Doc had cleared you, but your actual surgeon hadn't cleared you yet. And
yeah.
I remember that being super frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened there? Why was there a difference of opinion?
Okay, so the first time I actually got in the ring and was just trying out some basic like chain, very slow motion, some just trying to learn how to run the ropes again was actually like the end of December. But then I would just take a good amount of time off in between from going in ring stuff just to make sure that I'm not like overdoing anything with my leg. But like I would still have to ask Doc every day like, hey, can I do suplexes today? Can I do body slams today? And he would tell me yes or no. So there were still some things that like, even up until my surgeon cleared me, that Doc was not letting me do just because surgeons have the final word. But at the same time, I think people that don't know wrestling don't know or don't understand that there's ways that we can cover up having an injury, and there's ways to work around an injury, and that, like, even if I wasn't cleared, I probably could have done that, my return, the Arcade Anarchy match spot. I probably could have done that and have been totally fine. It's just more the precaution of giving your leg the time to heal and really solidify itself.
Right.
So, yeah, it was frustrating because, like, Doc was seeing everything that I was doing. And I was doing very basic but full matches, very quick, like, five-minute things. But... and then I was, we kept trying to, like, convince my surgeons, like, hey, she's doing everything in the ring that, like, and probably more than what she should be able to do at this point. Like, she's good to go. And Doc kept, like, talking to him, trying to be like, hey, it's okay. Like, she's doing great. But, you know, now looking back in retrospect, that, like, I don't mind that they made me wait as long as I did, because I probably wouldn't come back from each match feeling as good as I do if I came back earlier, if that makes sense. Like, I still get achy in my knee from walking around all day. We have long days when we're there standing on concrete, and I have to tell myself to sit down more because I just got back from knee surgery. But it's not as bad as it probably would be if I came back earlier than I did. So I'm very happy that they made my stubborn ass sit down and be like, no, don't do it. Don't do it. So, yeah, it was just frustrating for me because I mentally and physically felt ready. And I was like, it's been long enough. I had those almost 2 months before the surgery I had to wait. And I had these 7.5, 8 months after. Like, I think I'm good to go. Please let me go. It was just more mentally frustrating than anything, where I know in my heart that it is better for me to have stayed out as long as I did.
All right. We're talking with Chris Statlander, and next on the docket for Chris, questions from fans.
Dun, dun, dun.
AEW Unrestricted, very happy to have Chris Statlander back with us in more ways than one, back here on our Unrestricted podcast, and have her back in the ring. She is such a great athlete, and certainly has added, I think, a lot of more fun to already a fun thing with the best friends. And Chris, thanks for being with us. Here is our first question. Well, that question we already answered. Mm-hmm. Have you ever won something out of a claw machine?
I don't know.
If so, do you still have it?
Probably at some point in my life I have.
Yeah.
It'd be really sad if I didn't. You know what I want out of a claw machine? I want a live snapshot of Penelope's makeup for the day.
Oh, snap.
That's what I want.
Very good. Good answer.
For those listening to the audio version of the podcast, the Z snap was really good. So
I won friendship out of a claw machine.
There
the
you go.
Friendship with the best friends.
Boom.
And yes, I still have it. I still have it.
Ooh, that turned into probably the best possible answer to that question.
Yeah.
All right. Next question from Shelby on Twitter. Before returning to the Andromeda Galaxy, what would be your last meal on Earth? Popcorn.
No, I could take popcorn on the road. That's you can take popcorn on the ship. What would I have? Ooh, that's a hard one. See, like, I'm not really like a huge, like, I need to eat bad, because, like, I eat ice cream and popcorn a lot. So, like, I really, you know, I've really been into making my own egg salad.
Okay. Second question. Do you use pickles in your egg salad?
Sometimes.
Okay.
I've been using black olives and feta and some spinach and stuff. And I put paprika in it to make it like a deviled egg type thing.
Oh, you got to have the paprika. Do you use the smoked kind or the regular kind?
Just regular.
Okay. I highly recommend the smoked paprika. It adds kind of like a meaty flavor to it. A little bit more savory.
I will try that. But yeah, I'll do pickles sometimes, but I definitely always add black olives and feta as well. I've been making my own egg salad recipe. Perfect. It's so good.
Breaking news, everybody.
It sounds great. It really does. Gabrielle Horse on Twitter. Chris, have you ever met the Guardians of the Galaxy on your space travels? If so, which one is your favorite? And by the way, Gabrielle's a big human fan, he or she says, from Mexico. So I would love it if I can at least get a virtual boop.
Get it out of the way. Okay. So, sort of met I can't even say it. Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
So, my favorite character, obviously, Star-Lord, for many reasons.
Sure.
One, so I sort of met him because my boyfriend, who's a wrestler, has played him for the cosplay wrestling show. He has played the character of Star-Lord. So, you know, it just kind of works out well. But he and one of my characters, I played a Baroness from G.I. Joe. So we had this whole thing where I know they give the alien person the most boring non-superhero character out of all of the cool movies and stuff. But I made it work. We did this whole thing where Cobra disappeared. So I was forming a new Cobra and I was the new Cobra commander. And I called us the new era reigning dominance. So it's spelled nerd. And then Team Star-Lord came out and then we had to wrestle each other. And then Barry Bostwick from Rocky Horror Picture Show, I believe.
Yeah.
He came out and he was supposed to like cut a promo. And then after we all did the time warp, it's real something. But Barry Bostwick, he was supposed to come out and do a promo and then leave and then walk away. And he went into business for himself and he came into the ring cutting a promo on me. Stole Baroness's glasses and gave me a worker punch. And I was like, whoa, man.
Did you bump for it?
I sold it, yeah. But we were all of us were just like, we didn't know what to do because he was not supposed to get in the ring at all.
Oh my God.
And he's like, I'm the original nerd. Give me the glasses back and like took them and then he went, and I was like, oh my God. And so, yeah. And so that's when I met my boyfriend, AKA. Playing Star-Lord, and that's how I met one of the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Wow.
That's a great story.
Oh, my God. All right, Kat Cameron on Twitter. As a fellow weird girl science nerd, I love the backstory of the alien character. What were your favorite fields of study in science, and did you ever consider going into a science-based career?
Sort of. I don't think if this counts as science, but I always wanted to be like a dolphin trainer. Like that was like my first job that I wanted. I feel like in like animal behaviors, it's like it's kind of a science to like learn about like the psychology of animals and stuff like that. Like veterinary is like it's science.
It's science.
Obviously. Yeah. So it's kind of in a way a science subject. And I kind of did where I ended up becoming a licensed massage therapist because you had to learn about human anatomy and stuff like that. So I did end up sort of having a science related job. I definitely have looked into becoming an astronaut recently, just in case. One subject that I wasn't really a fan of, but I was really, really good at was earth science. Like learning about meteorology and like the weather and stuff like that. I was
ironic.
Not... Yeah. Weird, right? Like it was not my favorite subject, but I was super good at it. It was one of the best subjects. I was like almost hundreds every test with that subject. And I don't know why. It was just easy for me. I think I answered all those questions.
Yeah. You did a good job. As a matter of fact, part of it. Yeah, no, that's great. So you did study science. You did use science. You applied it to your career and mm-hmm. there you are.
Here I am.
And now you're an alien.
Yeah. Wow. Full circle.
Yeah. Okay. Julie can do that on Twitter. Is it wild to be in a faction with your old IWTV championship rival?
No, it's not. Because I feel like the matches that we did have were friendly. Like we didn't like purposely try to kill each other in them.
Right.
And I only had I never actually defended the title. I lost it the first defense. I had it back to him. So I think with all of that, I technically wasn't even supposed to win the title at some point, but it just kind of happened just because it was a cool idea and I was one of the most believable females to actually win it. And I had like I had won a tournament to challenge for the title at some point. And I had to wrestle two guys in that tournament. And I'm just saying, you know, if a girl can win a tournament, then she can probably win with the title. And then, so the title or the match that I lost it in was a triple threat match with a girl that I had been feuding with, Kimberly. And she kind of hit me with the belt after I had given OC my finisher. And then she hit me with the belt and then dragged him and put him on top of me to get the pin. Mm-hmm. So he didn't know it was happening. I didn't know it was happening. It was kind of just like she wanted to get the title out of us, off of me, because our storyline didn't pertain to the IWTV title. So that's kind of what it was. I don't think it's weird. I think the quirky fun that we have makes up for any bad blood that we had had in the past. And if you ever hear him talk to me in the back, you will see he makes fun of me and belittles me just like everyone else in the world does. He's Nobody's like nice to me. Nobody's nice to me.
I like to think I'm nice to you.
Besides you.
I know I'm nice to you.
Besides you two. Besides you two. If you heard the way everyone talks to me, you would be surprised.
I like too when there's moments where you're like, oh yeah, no, they're definitely going to say this. And then Chuck or Greg, I like that I used both one real name, one fake name. Dustin and Greg are both like, oh yeah, no, but and then they just say it immediately. Like, it's so predictable, all of their insults are going to throw at you.
Mm-hmm.
WSX Finest on Twitter says, I've had to deal with injury and rehab. It allowed me time to be introspective. And are there any insights you gained during your time off in rehab?
You know, if there's one thing that, like, if you're ever not sure about yourself in a career, have it taken away from you unexpectedly, and then you'll see where you stand. And being injured as badly as it was made me want to wrestle and get better and be the best more than anything ever could, because I couldn't do it. And I literally cried every single day for 3 to 4 months straight because I was so upset that I couldn't participate. I was so upset that I couldn't help out. I felt like I had failed everybody. And if it just felt like it was all on me, and it's like I would watch AEW and I would get upset because I couldn't be there, and I'd get upset that I couldn't help out, and I'd get upset because I was like, oh, everyone's doing great without me. Do they even need me back anymore? I'd try to work out and I'd start crying because I'm like, I can't do anything. I'm useless. I can't, like, I just want to do everything. I just want to be better and I can't. And kudos to my boyfriend for putting up with that, because it was a long time that I was crying every single day. And like, that's not an exaggeration. Like, there might have been like one day or something where I didn't get upset occasionally throughout that time period. It was rough. So yeah, when you get injured, you really start to appreciate the things that are taken away from you without you trying to take it away from yourself. That's really my biggest thing.
Wow. Very well said.
Mm-hmm.
Makes me sad for the time we missed you. And we did miss you, by the way.
We did.
Yeah. Let you know. And you've come back all that much better.
Thanks.
With the green on the side.
Love the green.
And yeah. The eye. And it's
with
good
that,
stuff.
With the new look, I wanted it to, because I know there's a lot of criticism about, like, how is she an alien? All she does is have some dots and lines on her face and stuff like that. So I wanted to make it more visual for fans to kind of understand a little bit better. Like, just because I say I'm an alien or whatever, like, you can interpret whatever you don't know however you want. So it's like, if that's how I interpreted it, that's fine. It's my take on it. But I feel like this look looks so much better. And doing it on this side with the purple hair, the whole idea is that this is the alien hair coming out of my head. And I've seen, so that's why the green is on this side. And it's like, that's the real skin. This is the real hair, the contact, the real eyeball. And so I saw some things on Twitter where people are like, oh, this reminds me of the V, which is like some, or I think it's short for like The Visitors or something. It was some TV show back in like the 70s or something where they had like green reptile skin, like peeled underneath, like they'd peeled away the human skin underneath the reptile skin. And I was like, oh, didn't even try that. But because there is actually something that it looks similar to, now there's something that people can actually relate it to, which makes it more believable that it's a thing. But then, like, again, people still criticize, like, oh, the alien thing is dumb and stuff. But it's like, that's fine. You don't have to like it. Doesn't mean I'm a bad wrestler or anything. Also, I have so many things that I have to say to people sometimes.
Well, here's a great blanket statement in response to the trolls. Mm-hmm. Fuck off.
There you go.
That works.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go. I don't even care if people don't like the character. Like, I always find it funny when people are like, oh, I think Chris is awesome. She just has a dumb gimmick. And it's like, that's great. I don't care. I don't care if you don't like the character. It's what I feel comfortable with portraying myself. But if you think I'm a good wrestler, that's all I care about. That's all I need to hear.
Well said.
Exactly. I don't care if you like it. It's me. It's me being me. And for all the people that are like, she doesn't act like an alien. It's like, well, with that V show, I'm sure unless their real alien skin was showing, I'm sure they weren't trying to act like a complete psycho weirdo idiot type thing when they were trying to blend in with society. So
yeah.
What do you expect? Obviously there's going to be some mess ups, but like, the whole idea is to not think they're an alien until it shows. So
there you go.
Whatever.
I wanted to thank you for being here, Statlander. Really great to hear from you and talk about your injury kind of more in depth. And I'm just so happy you're back. You're such a bright and wonderful person to have in the locker room. And I ate pixie sticks while you were gone. And
I have so many and I keep forgetting to bring them.
You should bring them because I really miss them. Anyway, okay. Thank you for being here. You can follow Chris Statlander on Twitter at @CallMeChrisStat and on Instagram at @CallMeChrisStat. Of course, listen to the AEW Unrestricted Podcast for free. Wherever you get your podcasts, please leave us a rating. Review while you're there. New episodes every Thursday morning.
Don't forget the video on this podcast on YouTube. Search AEW Unrestricted. Also, tune into these shows. Elevation on Monday night. Dark on Tuesdays on our YouTube channel. And AEW Dynamite Wednesdays, 8 o'clock, 7 central. Only on TNT. My name is Tony Schiavone.
My name is Aubrey Edwards.
My name is Chris Statlander.
You sure are. Boop. And this has been AEW Unrestricted.
Boom.